Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you glory. And we pray that your glory shines upon us, shines on our foreheads this day, that we may manifest the fullness of your glory in the name of Jesus, that we may be clothed with a new clothing, with a new garment, a garment that distinguishes us as a part of your end-time army. Now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, because this is what sets us apart. That you have put your spirit in us and you have clothed us with a new garment. A garment of authority. A garment of righteousness. And of the knowledge that we are your righteousness in Christ Jesus. Now I thank you, Heavenly Father, that every garment of shame and any such thing, and every deceit, rejection, and all such things is taken off this day and is replaced with a garment of praise, a garment of thanksgiving, a garment of declaration of who we are in Christ. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Last week we were in Hoima. And now people in Hoima are talking about the end time. Praise the Lord. And we just sampled them. But I'm told a few people bought CDs and, you know, those who can understand. There was a serious language issue. Because now, Matthew 12, start from 31. 12:31. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. You get another version. Let's get like NIV, we see. Therefore I tell you, every sin and blasphemy, every evil, abusive, injurious speaking or indignity against sacred things can be forgiven men, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not and cannot be forgiven. Go back to New King James and go to verse 32. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Now, I want you to know that the blasphemy they are talking about is speaking a word. Just speaking a word. Anyone who speaks a word against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him in this age or in the age to come. Now, that's interesting, because it does not say whoever does something against the Holy Spirit. It says whoever speaks a word against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Now, so you ask, what's so powerful about words that you... The blasphemy against the Holy Spirit does not cater for actions. It only deals with words. Praise the Lord. And of course, this is nothing... You know, the thing is, one of the biggest... The devil deceives so many people that they are blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. And actually, there was a time when, even in mental asylums, a majority of the people were there because they believed they had blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. And then they ran mad just because of that, whatever. You said something, you said... Because, of course, they didn't understand where this comes from and what it actually means to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. But you see, it's all in the context, because Jesus comes and chases out demons, and then the Pharisees, knowing full well that he is doing it by the Spirit of God, say he is doing it by the spirit of the devil. That is what is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Now, you have to know. If you don't know, it does not affect you. You understand? It has to come from a place of knowledge where you absolutely know that this is a man of God, I know it. But then you speak and say that man is using demonic powers. It does not say you call him a false prophet. That is not covered here. That is in the realm of forgive. Eh? But where you attribute powers of the Holy Spirit knowingly to demonic spirits, this is what this talks about. But then, that's actually not what I want to talk about. But I just wanted to show you that it does not cater for anything that is done in this scripture. It's just what is spoken. And you see, because of the age in which we live, there's a way in which people take words very casually. And they don't understand that the world was made by words. Okay? God spoke the world into being. And then, they don't understand that they speak the world they inhabit, they speak it into being, positive or negative. And now I just want to put this up to show you how, okay, let's go to the next verse. Either make the tree good and its fruit will be good, or make the tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Now much of the fruit, not all, much of it is actually the words, as he says. And he says you can actually make a tree good, or you can make it bad. But what you can't do is make a bad tree produce good fruit. But you can change the tree and then ensure that the fruit that comes out is good. Praise the Lord. Now, of course, what he's talking about the tree is the heart, somebody's heart. And when people do not know how to protect their heart from certain, you know, all this, you know, bitterness and so on, they actually start spewing bad fruit. And everybody can see that that person is not a good person to be around. And it comes from within, and you can actually make the tree good. But okay, let's go ahead. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? You see, now you see Jesus said you cannot be evil and speak good things. But there are so many people in the world who want to be this and speak the other. But then you say something and somebody can look through you and know that. Anybody can speak through you and see that. That's you're messed up. And it's clear to everybody, only you think you're fooling people. By the way, let me tell you, people have the ability to see what is beyond the words. Not discerning people. Everybody has that ability to see what is beyond the words. I'll give you an example. Let's say you're a beautiful lady. So somebody comes and greets you. Hello, how are you? And, you know, then goes away. Then another one comes and says the same things, and you see this one has lustful thoughts. How do you know? You know. And if you see it, it's true. You understand? And they have said the same words, but just by simple discernment, you know this one is fake. Now that discernment starts from even children. Have you ever seen children? They know who likes them and who doesn't like them. Now how do we lose that discernment? Where you actually go into a fake thing, which you would not go to if you were 1 year old. So you've been retrogressing since. So a child knows who is hostile by just looking at them. Before any word is spoken, they'll look at somebody and they know this is a good person. They will run there and what, and you can see they are comfortable out because they are using discernment. Now, of course, then you go to school, then they take away all the discernment and replace it with something else. Now, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go ahead. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. Now, I wish people understood how you can actually... Now, this is the thing. Now, even recently, my wife was telling me she doesn't like reading comments on my social media things. Because they say bad things about me and she gets angry on my behalf. Only me, I'm not angry. Actually, I enjoy them. So the more negative, the more I shake my head and enjoy myself now. So, and now, like, how do you get to a point where somebody can actually say something mean about you and it does not affect you at all? How do you get to that point? By training your heart. training your heart, first of all, to see the people from where they are. He doesn't understand what I know. He doesn't what. Then, even if all that was not there, he has the right to hate me. And I'm not going to deprive him of that right. Who am I to make sure everybody likes him? Even Jesus, they didn't like him. You see, you have to understand that some people will come close to you and choose not to like you. So what wrong did God do for a third of the angels to go? So if God, a third of, what makes everybody is going to cheer you? Yeah. So you make your heart, you make your tree good, your heart good, by just accepting that you have a right to. Now, and here is the thing. Do you know why people get worked up over that? Because they look at the negative. Do you know how, for every person who says negative things, they are positive things. So why should I focus on the negative? Even if I get one person like this, who says, man, you're the next what? I say that's enough. Like one. Now, why should I care? And by the way, you look and see that actually a majority of them, you know, but those who don't like me, that shows that I'm what? Jesus said, if they did this to me, who are you? Okay, I'm paraphrasing. They will do it to you also. So calm down. Don't waste people's time. There is always going to be somebody who does not like you. And it is right. But the thing is, I actually never let it affect me one bit. So I can go on my social media and read all the negative comments. You stupid man, you what? And I read them. And then I'm totally unaffected by them. Now I'm sure 99% of you cannot say that. But I've been taken through a hardcore training not to care what people think. To absolutely not care what people think. Because that is the biggest bondage. The bondage of believing, like, you know, somebody has to conform you to their way of thinking and so on. You can never be a leader like that. That's why God does some things just to mess you up. And get everybody against you, then you get used to that. You see, the Bible says Jesus, after I turned whatever, men came running to him. Then he says he ran away from them because he knows men's hearts. Because the very people who are there cheering you, they just need a bit stirring up by the Pharisees, and then they say, crucify him. The same people. So, you know, the Bible says he did not give himself to them. That's how you lead. By not giving yourself to anybody's opinion. Praise the Lord. Letting that opinion be totally outside of you, move ahead. And sometimes even stop violence so that people get angry and abuse you more. Then you say, yeah. So, inciting violence. I'm just coming down a bit on that, but I was very good at inciting violence and getting people to abuse me. And I'm like, yes. Because you have to be weaned off that wanting to be accepted by a certain kind of people, wanting to be approved, wanting to be what? That is the glue that keeps people in mediocrity. Anybody who is going to be different, you just stand up, and when you believe something is right, just walk. Let me tell you, people will do what? We'll find you there. It happens all the time. Okay. And the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Now, where is evil? Evil is stored in the heart, in the form of malice, hatred, bitterness, ba. You understand? And how does it get there? There is a way there. Everybody is hurt by somebody, then they get bitter, then they meditate on that. Then they start speaking things. I wish that guy had something happens to him. I wish he's knocked by a car. Now, you're actually meditating on bitterness, and it is about one person who hurt you. But after you've meditated on it for a very long time, you'll be a bitter person even to people who didn't hurt you. Because it becomes your nature. So it starts with just one. And now, the people who are happy are not happy because nobody hurts them. No, they just choose to be happy. And they choose not to go, okay, that person shouldn't have done that to me, but I am okay. Okay? And such people will always what? Exist. Even Jesus was betrayed by Judas. So what wrong did he do to be betrayed by Judas? Did he do any wrong? So what makes you think that you're so special? That nobody is going to betray you? If nobody betrays you, call me and I betray you. Because that's the only way you are going to... Okay, I will not. But you understand, there will always be somebody. It has to happen. It has to happen. Somebody who you actually invite in, be good to and do everything good. And you even know it, that this person. Now, you see, Jesus from the beginning knows this person is going to betray me. Now, even you know that I can't trust this person. But I am going to do good until the time they betray me. So they will not have an excuse of what? Of there is a reason. No, I want you actually to betray me when I've been good so that you don't have an excuse. When you sit down and reflect on yourself, you know that you're fake. Okay, go ahead. But I said to you that for every idle word men speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. What I'm trying to bring forth to you here is the power of words. What it is, you know, and the things people take very lightly, which the Lord takes very seriously. Words. The power of words. They will give account of it in the day of judgment. Every idle word. What is an idle word? Okay, let's go ahead. For by your words, you will be justified. And by your words, you'll be condemned. Praise the Lord. By your deeds, by your words. Imagine something as powerful as blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Does not take into account actions. It just says words. You say something against that. Just say, no account for actions. Just words. And yet it is unpardonable in this age or in the age to come. Now, of course, if you think you've blasphemed the Holy Spirit, just say Jesus is Lord. If you can say it, then you haven't. Because the Bible says nobody can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You understand? Now, when somebody blasphemes the Holy Spirit, he completely withdraws. Now, I know that because I read it in a book of Kenneth Hagin. He said that he saw a young boy who had actually blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And it is not like it is. Now, this boy was very anointed when he was young throughout high school and college. They used to call him the Holy Spirit boy. He had amazing experiences, very powerful things, healings, manifestations of the, you know, spirit realm, and so on. Then along the way, you know, youth, he backslid and then went and started drinking and so on and actually went the other side. Now, there is nothing wrong. Okay, I mean, there is nothing unpardonable about that. You can come back any minute, even with your last breath, and say, I'm sorry, and you'll go straight to heaven. But, so, he would want to go and join other people. And then they say, they used to call him Holy Spirit boy. Holy Spirit boy, Holy Spirit boy. So he wants to drink and do the things they are doing, but they are calling him Holy Spirit boy. You know that inconvenience, eh? When you want to be naughty, eh? Like some of you want to be naughty, then they say, hey, Pastor Kabred. Man, now I'm trying to run away from it. Like I remember some preacher who said that he told God that just give me a short time, let me go and experience the world. Then I'm coming back and I'm going to preach the gospel. So he went into what? So now he's in a discotheque, dancing. Then the Lord speaks to him and tells God, what are you doing here? Now you want him to not, don't interrupt me. Let me what? Do my stuff. When I'm tired, I'll come back to you. Okay? Praise the Lord. Now, so this guy, they're calling him Holy Spirit boy. So one day, he just turned out and said, by the way, that was not the Holy Spirit who was working. They asked him, what was it? He said, that was the devil. Once he said that, by the way, these things of spirit things, the Holy Spirit withdraws completely. Now, this guy said they would tell him, say Jesus is Lord. Those words could not come out of his mouth. They could not, even if he tried nothing. He could say anything else except Jesus is Lord. Now, the scripture says, nobody can say Jesus is Lord except by what? By the Holy Spirit. So if you can, you've not blasphemed. Now this, in this book, he actually goes ahead to describe what happened with that boy. He became, you see, at that moment, you're already in hell. Like even when you're not yet died, like he became so distraught, like his life was a complete misery. Now, your hell starts there. Because every person in this world who has it, they have the Holy Spirit and they can, because they have the Holy Spirit, anytime they can choose to come to the Lord. But now when he withdraws completely, the hell starts on earth. So he became, you know, distraught, like, you know, all over the place, nothing. Your life becomes a complete, you know, people don't understand that. The world, the scripture says in Genesis 1:1, that in the beginning God made the what? God created the heavens and the earth. Okay? Verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, before the Spirit of God hovers, everything is without form, is in darkness, and that's how it is. Now, only when the snake, now you become like that, when this, before, like the way the earth was before the Holy Spirit starts hovering. Now, when the Holy Spirit hovers, then order comes in place. Then there is order. But before the earth, God created the earth, but it's void, without form, in darkness, nothing is working. Until the Spirit of God does what? Comes and starts hovering. Now, but let's go back to that scripture. For by your words you'll be justified and by your words you'll be condemned. Okay. That's actually what I wanted to read for that point. But now to open Proverbs. You see, when people don't understand how... Proverbs 25:31. Is it there? Sorry. 15:23. Okay, what does it say? A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good it is. Now, a word spoken in due season, a good word spoken in due season, in the time for it, how good it is. You see, now, there are people whom I've like encountered who come and they are so despondent. Nothing is working out, this, that. And just one word reconstructs them. Do you know that there are so many people who are... I was just listening to some pastor who said one day he's driving on the, you know, he's abroad and he's driving on the highway, and then this, like as if beggar, you know, those homeless people, comes and he's at the lights and the guy starts knocking at, you know, at the window. So he says, I don't have money to give this guy. I don't know why he didn't have money, because he's a very rich pastor, but you know, but maybe he didn't have it at that time. So he's saying, why don't the lights turn green and I leave this guy here? You know, but somehow the lights did not turn green that fast. So as he's there, he decides, a thought just comes up to him. And he says, but if I don't have money, I can actually give him something more powerful. I can give him a good word. So he rolls down the window and asks him, how did you end up here? He said, you know, I'm like this, I'm like that. Then he tells him that, you know, you're very, you know, God loves you, God created you in this way and what. Simple words, the man's face lit. Then he said, you're coming from church, because I think it wasn't far away from where his church is. He said, yes. So he said, now? So he told him that next Sunday you come to church and come and see me. And but in that short time, he just gave him a small word. Now, the guy came to church, he didn't see him. He saw him after a few months. And now he was employed, he came dressed very smartly. And what? And he said, those words you told me transformed my life. What? Now, there are so many people who are out there disappointed because somebody told them something fake. And by the way, that's where by your words you'll be justified. Because you can destroy somebody's life with just words. And you think it's just. But on the day of judgment, you said something about somebody who God called, and you spoke bad things into their life. Not into their, just spoke bad things to them. And they pulled back. And then they say, no, I can't do this, you know, I can't do that. And those words, by your words, you will be justified or condemned. Now, there is a special reward, by the way, for people for just encouraging. Do you know, like, in judgment, they are, okay, these people preach the gospel and what? But simple encouragement, lifting up. Every time you lift somebody up, you're doing the work of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Every time you put somebody down, you're doing the work of who? Of the devil. That's what he does. Like, that is his... The whole system of the world is meant to put you down. And then that's why I say you have to fight out of it to lift yourself up and do something. Because the system takes on the shape of the god of this world. So, it's for putting you down, putting you down, putting you down, putting you down, putting you down. You're sinful. You did this. You did that. You what? Everything. Every negative thing is piled on you by the system of this world without the people even knowing that they are doing the work of God. Sorry, of the devil. Of, you know, the God of this world. Now, I think I've given this example before. I met some, you know, like when you're in school, studying, let's say in university, and then you're there, you believe after you finish university, you're going to get this top job and be like in some office somewhere overlooking the city with like somebody to make for you coffee and what, and a boardroom somewhere where you sit with good air conditioning and so on, earning a certain kind of, you know, and that's, you're free to dream that. So even you look at your lecturers and you even pity them, because some of them can be what? Shabby and what? So the guy comes to class. I remember there's some lecturer, you know, like you had one shot and he was a doctor. I don't know what books do to people's heads. Like the guy comes, very shabby, like the worst advert for education. And I'm sure you've seen those guys, very shabby, very unkempt. You look at him and you say, man, why am I even in school to be like that guy? So you look at them and pity them and say, man, these fake lecturers. For me, when I finish here, I'm going to. So you have the right to believe that. Yeah, until you finish. Until you finish. Then when you finish, you realize that people who have jobs lecturing are not to be pitied. They are to be envied. that's how that world works. Then you realize that you find somebody who was in fourth year when you were in first year, still walking on the streets, and his shoe is like this, and he's still looking for a job, and you did the same course, and for you, you don't even have your transcript yet. You're still waiting for it. And for him, he has everything, but he's still walking, going from place to place. Now, without any appearance of a devil with horns like this, the world has already put you down. Now, after that, you're ready to work for a job of 200K. The person who is supposed to be on what? On the 12th floor somewhere, overlooking the city. Do you see what I'm saying? And now even the people you go to, even the person who... even that's what actually happens to... That is the story of the prodigal son. When you go with all these things, I have my father's... So you go there, and then you realize that world there treats you like a pig. You'd even want to eat what the pigs are eating. And the Bible says nobody gives it to you now. And the world has gotten you and like squeezed all the optimism, all the, you know, expectations of grand things and all that, squeeze them out of you. Then now you start coming to church and say, man of God, I don't know what's happening with my life. But 1 year ago, you were pitying lecturers. But now you discover the lecturer with his ipsum is not that disadvantaged. After all, you understand? Now that what people call the real world, what people call the, of course our real world is different, but it is shaped to just put people down. Then you go and you're ready to settle for so very, very little, and all your expectations have been pummeled by the system of this world. Now, when you go to church and a minister puts you down also, then now where are you going to run? But you see, those who do it don't understand that the Spirit of God lifts up even the most, like, there is nothing that is of the Spirit, even the rebuke and what, it is all lifting up. You understand? Because you cannot do anything, until you actually believe that you are capable of doing it, and God has to continue encouraging you, you can do it, you can do it. I told you the story of Gideon. I am this. He says, no, you can do it. Go with this strength. Do this. You can do that. Then do you doubt? Yes, I doubt. Okay. Give me a sign. What sign do you want? I want to put fleece on the ground and there is water in the fleece and all over is dry. Then God does it. Then he says, okay, one more. Then he says, now I want the fleece to be dry and all over is wet. Then God does it. Then Gideon is still scared. And God is still encouraging. You can do it. Now you imagine, God has chosen him, and now it is up to him to show him you are capable. You can do it.
all the way until the last minute, Gideon is still scared. Then he says, now divide the people, 300 people. Now tomorrow you are going to what? To attack the Amalekites. Then Gideon is like, yeah. But deep down, you know, deep down he's still scared. Eh? So God gives him one last escape. If you're still scared, you go down and listen to what they are saying. Now that's when he finally got the courage. Now, if God does that for Gideon, because he has to use him to save Israel, and he has chosen him, and he says, you're the man, you're going to do it. But the man he has chosen is so weak and so scared. But God props him up and props him up. Now, people don't understand that a word in due season, how good it is. How good. Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. A word, gold, silver. Now, do you see how with carelessness you can destroy, and with just being cautious about the things you speak, you can actually lift people up? Now, when God puts you in positions of authority, the one thing you have to be very careful about is the things you say. Because you make one mistake and you can easily mess up somebody's life, and you will not be held guiltless on that day. You say something negative, something putting people down, something, you know, you do the work of the devil instead of doing the work of what? Of Holy Spirit, of lifting people up, telling them you can do it, you're capable, you're the person God has chosen, you are what, you know. Then you lift them up, then you lift them up. Now you find that somebody goes and consumes those words, because words are actually food. You understand? Eh? They are food. Everything God is going to do is going to start with the soul, you believing, then eventually you do. You know? So the words are the soul. Now the scripture says that in Luke, I think chapter 12, Luke chapter 12, verse 42. It says, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Praise the Lord. There is food, then there is food in due season, in the right season, a word spoken in season, at a time when somebody needs to hear that. Now, I see that all the time when people come to office and they just need to hear something positive, a word spoken in due season, to tell them, no, this is like this and like this. And they lifted up and encouraged. And the next thing you know, somebody is doing things. I know ministries that have been birthed out of just words. What, somebody give me a word in due season. And just say, you know, there is this, there is that, you can do this, you're well able to do this, and God is going to use you to do this. And then somebody goes and that's all. Thank you very much. Now, this pastor didn't have money, but by just in the short time of the lights turning, he just said something powerful, invited the man to church. He met the man 6 months later, and the man was dressed. He said, now I got a job, I'm no longer homeless, I'm what? And you find that there's somebody actually, by saying something fake, pushed him there. Now, you think people are very strong. They are not all strong. You see, eh? Somebody will be messed up by just words, especially ladies, but also men. Eh? Okay. Also men, by the way, just as much. The Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise steward whom his master will make rule over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Verse 43. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. For truly I said to you that he will make him a ruler over all that he has. Remember, he says he made him a master of his household. The master made him a ruler over the master's household. So be in charge of my household, I'm going. That you make him ruler over all that he has. Go ahead. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk. Now how do they beat the male and female servants? Of course, it's talking about church leaders. Have you ever seen somebody who beats them with chiboko? Okay, there are some churches, I know there's some judge I know in Weogere. Ministers meeting, chiboko, eh? Why didn't you do this? Why should the man, and I know some serious guys who go there and they would lie down and man, eh? The pastor administers what? Correction. Praise the Lord. Chiboko. And by the way, I can tell you even big churches that I know. Churches, if I told you, like, where ministers meeting, when they go there to a ministers meeting, everybody is quaking. Because you know, you might live with what? So even pastors of like subsidiary ministries go there when they are trembling. What do they go down? Then but you see, there are so many ways of being hammered, Chiboko. Now, he starts beating the male and female servants. How? With his words. Putting them down, beating them. Baba, you're this, you're that, you're that. And they don't realize that actually you're doing the work of the devil by beating the male and female servants. That's actually the devil's work. By the way, when I realize this, it is, I don't know what, like, I don't release anything that is not positive. Speaking about somebody else, even speaking about myself, you see, because that's what people don't understand. It's because when you're down, and you're down, you remember what the Bible says, that David, when his own men wanted to beat him, because they went to fight and they came back and found, when the Amalekites had taken their wives and all their property. So the men turned on David and they wanted to beat him. And the Bible says, you know, he first cried and then did what? Then it says he encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, how do you think you encourage yourself in the Lord? You think there is anybody there who goes through good times all the time? No, but even when, you really are running low on cash, that is the time to actually speak and say the harvest is truly great. Because that is when it is faith. And without faith, it is impossible to do what? This is God. If you have a lot of money in the bank, even if you say it, it is not faith. It is more powerful when you say it, when it is against the reality. Okay, the so-called reality. And you confess it and say, I'm blessed, I am this, and refuse to be put down by it. Refuse the circumstances to put you down and say, no, I'm not going to be put down. Then you speak a word in due season to yourself. Now, a word in due season means when you say you're blessed and the harvest is great, when you're broke. That is a word in what? Due season. Because at that time, you don't want somebody to tell you that you're healed, because that's not your problem. If they told you that, that would be a word out of season. Amen? But if you go to a hospital bed, the word in due season is you're healed in Jesus' name. But now it's your wallet which needs what? Healing. So now don't even wait for somebody to tell you. Speak it to yourself. And by the way, let me tell you, speak it over and over and over again. Psych yourself up and do what? And completely refuse to settle for the reality. Now the thing is, that's when the devil will send for you somebody who will say, but we told you, you should have done this. Well, now you see, if you are not done this, you should have done. And there's always things which you didn't do, which they think you should have done. Relatives, what, and all those people. Now you see, we are not even going to help you. Now this is like this. Now we are not going to do that. Now a word in what? Due season. Let them run away from those, because by those words are powerful. Run away from them and go and speak to yourself and say, I am blessed. I am prosperous. I am this. I am, you know, harvest is really great. Ba, 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 ba. And then psych yourself up completely. Now, you see, people don't understand that. I'll give you an example. There's a time when, at the World Cup, you see, when you watch football, you see that you can see a team which has the ability to beat another, but it does not have the belief. And you can see they're already defeated in their minds before they go there. And it is so clear, you can tell it. So when they start playing, you say, these ones don't have the belief that they are going to win. Now, so at the World Cup, there was a time Ghana was going to play Brazil. Okay, they eventually were beaten 3-0. But you know what amazed me is that Ghana hired a psychologist just to come and pump into them. You can do it. You can, because they don't believe. You're Ghana. But the truth is, now me, from my footballing knowledge, that was a very weak Brazil team. And Ghana could beat them. The problem is, I was the one who was believing it, and I'm not going to be on the pitch. Now, the people on the pitch have to actually believe it. Now, believing is when you completely know, I can do this. Now, when you don't, you will not. So, they actually hired the psychologist to come in. And what does he do? And they are paying him a lot of money just to come and speak faith. You understand? To speak a word in what? in due season, tell them that you know what? You're actually capable of doing this. Because you find players who, when they are playing there, in their clubs, they are better than what? Than Brazilian players whom they play with. But now when these guys come to Africa and the others go to Brazil and then they meet at the World Cup, we can't beat Brazil. But why? If you were to pick them player for player, they can, but they don't believe it and they will not. So you just see it, you see panicking and what? So a word in due what? Season. Now, until you actually learn how to speak to yourself, a word in due season, or to speak to people around you, a word in due season. The Lord is leading me to do this, to do that, to do that, to do that. And you see, that seems to be too big for you. Now, let me tell you, every time we have things which are too big for what? For us. But try discouraging me. Because before I met you, I first spoke to myself a word in due season. And I encouraged myself in the Lord. And I spoke good things about myself and my situation. So your words are not going to disrupt what I already believe. Even those things of those comments which I tell you I don't care. I already know who I am. Okay? I already know like what God has given me. Like I know. You understand? Eh? So even when I go someplace, I look at people and they look at you and they think they know more than you. But I look at them and I don't know. I am the one who knows more than them. Why? Because, number one, I spoke to myself a word in due season. Number two, you know that scripture? Look, but it says, I will give you a word and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to what? To contradict. Now, if the Holy Spirit says that, I don't care. I just meditate on that scripture. So I go anywhere, TV and what? And I'm thinking, he will give me a word which none of these guys can contradict. So then you speak and people say, man, that guy is sharp. I will give you a word which none of... Like, I meditate on that scripture. I don't just... Do you understand what I'm saying? And I encourage myself that I have the Spirit of God. And I'm going there with this scripture in mind. That God said he's going to give me a word and wisdom. Luke 21:15. For I'll give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You know they can't even resist you. They hate you but they love you. Because you're irresistible. Because the Lord has given you a word and wisdom. You understand? Glory to God. Now you just go there and don't think. Do you know actually he says do not meditate what you will say? Go behind and see. The verse 14. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. Now, by the way, I learned that when I go with an empty head, that's when I'm at my most brilliant. Because I decide I'm not going to meditate on what I will answer. And so ask. Now, meanwhile, I've been meditating on that thing. I will give you a mouth and wisdom which they will not be able to contradict or resist. You are irresistible. You speak and people are just, man, okay, we know that guy is okay. They have issues, but they say, okay, Kale. And praise the Lord. Now, this is just, everybody is just a meditation away. Now, me, I just meditate on, I choose the scripture, which I want to be true for me, and I go and meditate on it. I will give you, so, okay, let's go back. Verse 46. The master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. So you think it's only in those churches where they hammer people? You wait when you go to heaven. Yes. Stripes. Do you know, let me tell you something. There is that judgment seat of Christ. Where people say, it's a judgment of reward. No, it's more than just a judgment of reward. It's because everything that you don't do, which you are supposed to do, has a boomerang effect. You understand? Now, if I was supposed to be here a watchman, and I refuse to do it, but I'm born again and I die, a lot of people who have been received the Lord through this ministry would not have. So imagine how many stripes. So there are people who did not receive because of you. So go down. Now, By the way, this is a serious thing. You know, because people think, eh? Because I read one time in a book by Kenneth Hagin, he said that Jesus told him that he saw in a vision three frogs, demonic spirits, coming to America. Then the Lord told him that, I told the church to pray for the nation, for their nation, so that these things don't come. But they were laughing. Jesus said they were laughing. Then he said, you wait when they come to my judgment seat. They will not be laughing. Because people don't, like the scripture says, eh, we are persuaded because of the terror of God. And you see, there's this grace, you know what, whatever. Okay, grace, yes. But then there is the terror of God, where if you don't judge yourself, God will judge you. And his judgment will receive many what? Right. So he knew what God's will was and did not do it. So there will be, you'll be hammered with many stripes. Now, then he goes on to say, but he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Now let me tell you, when you read this, you see that every gift, every talent, every authority that God gives you, it comes with stripes if you don't what? Chiboko. So now you go, it's a judgment. I've read some books of people who have been there where you go there and you come out the other side and man, okay, the joy starts there. But here, the terror of the Lord. And it's real terror, by the way, because there are people who, like God, you have something special. And you know, always I pray I'm not like that. Where you say, but am I really maximizing what I am supposed to be doing? Am I really, really, really? As in, because there are things which God has entrusted with you. Am I really doing them to the maximum? Am I judging myself? Am I judging my motives? My purposes? Am I doing things for the right reason? Am I going through that room beforehand? So when I get there, I have striped myself already here. So there is no need for what? For more stripes there. Praise the Lord. Anyhow, so, John 6:3. Is it 6:3? Where am I? It's John. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Can you imagine? Now, I just want you to see how words are, how seriously God takes them vis-a-vis how we take them. You understand? So Jesus said, you're clean just because of the words you've had. You've been hearing words. And now this is what happens. When people expose themselves continually. Now there are people who are actually slow learners of these things. But by continual exposure to the right words. Actually after some time, your mindset starts changing completely. And now you realize you only know how much you've changed when you look at people who still think the way you once thought about certain things of life. Then you say, I've made a lot of distance. And meanwhile, you never noticed that you were making distance. You were just continually listening to certain words, continually listening to them. And the words were being spoken and you come, listen, go. And you think you've done nothing. No, by the way, don't make no mistake. It's like feeding and feeding and feeding and you think you're doing nothing. No, we'll see it when you have a big tummy. Okay? Now, the words that are spoken, you're clean. Jesus says, you're clean because of the words I've spoken to you. That's what makes you clean. Now, even listening and to words like this. So because the Lord told me to tell them about a word in due season. About you speaking to somebody, a word in due season. You speaking to the people who are under your care, be it family and what, a word in due season. Something that is going to lift them up. Something that's going to be a block by which they construct their lives. Just a good word in due season. And now, then they are cleansed. You're cleansed because of the words, the word which I've spoken to you. John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are what? Life. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Now, that is true of every word spoken. The words of Jesus, but also the words spoken under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Like what I'm telling you now. They are spirit and they are life. And they are transformation. And you listen to them. And first of all, there is a lot more responsibility. Because there are people who do not understand some of the things that
you understand and take lightly. You understand?
For instance, I struggled really to preach anytime in Hoima, because like when I'm talking to you, there are things I know you know, so I start from somewhere. But you know, really starting from the beginning, and then they want to hear so many things which they are not yet ready to receive, then you realize that there are people who, not that they are not yet ready to receive them, but they need to receive so much before they get to that stage. Then you realize there are people who know so many things. Everything that is happening is, they know about it. Everything that is happening, they know about it. When you tell them about surveillance states being built, Mao, let me tell you, now in China, and this is going to be a model for the whole world, it has gone to another level now. There's an American Chinese girl who grew up in America. She went when she was, I think, very young, like 4 or 5 years. So she studied in America, completed a school, completed university, and went to China. Now in China, everybody has to be connected to a system by which they monitor your behavior. And they give you reward for behaving well, and they give you punishment for behaving badly. And it's the state which decides what's good and what's bad. Now this lady stayed in China and worked for some time, a short time. Then she decided she wanted to go back to America. They stopped her at the airport and said she has been denied the right to travel. Do you know why? Because she posted something on social media abusing the ex-girlfriend of her boyfriend. Not even threatening to kill or anything, just saying you're fake, what, things which many of you do all the time. Okay? So she went to her boyfriend's ex and just posted some things. Like simple things. You're even ugly, what, you know? Like she was not threatening to kill anybody. She was not threatening to maim or to do what? Just giving her simple, not so good opinion about somebody whom she didn't like. So now she has been told she can never travel outside of China again because she does not fit. Now, then a journalist who wrote just a simple thing, he cannot even move out of what? They can close you out. They can close in China. If you be a little bit more stubborn, they close you in the province. This guy is in Guangzhou province. Then if you're even more stubborn now in the house, and the system is automatic, it just flags you, you can't travel. So you try to go to the airport, you're blocked. You cannot travel because of bad behavior. Now, India is adopting the same. Now, let me tell you, Australia is adopting the same. Australia. Now, you see, these people, there was that shooting in New Zealand. You remember of the guy who shot Muslims? Then someone went and said that, what? If it was Christians who had been shot, nobody would be condemning like that. Then he says, Muslims are always shooting other people, and people make excuses for them. Now, when they are shot, everybody says, oh, man, you know. Okay, maybe it wasn't a very sensitive thing for him to say. But they clamp down. Now they say certain opinions are not allowed. You go there and dare say anything against homosexuals. See you? They tighten the screws slowly by slowly until after some time, everybody has to say the same things or shut up. So where they say freedom of speech, but there is no freedom. The freedom of speech is here. There is none in the West, none. None whatsoever. Let me tell you, freedom of speech is here. Because I can go on my Facebook and rant anything about anybody, and I'm here. You understand? But you go and say, now they go tightening the screws slowly by slowly. Now, I told you the other time Facebook said, they are white nationalism and separatism are being banned on social media. They closed down so many accounts of people who are like Trump supporters who think, see, close down their accounts. I told you also they sent a warning, a letter to Zoe Fellowship telling them to reapply to have a page, to have their page reinstated, or they will switch them off. Now, what white nationalism does Zoe do? But you see, they use it to clamp down on people who don't think like them. And eventually, it comes slowly, and then you tighten the grip. Now, that's why people don't understand that. Even here, like, the reason, like, we have to stand up and fight. Now, some of you are scared, but you just support us in ways you can. You understand? Support us in ways you can, and we'll do the fighting for you. Because if you don't, it will take a short time before you also cannot say certain things. You either speak the same things of the world. Man, you're homophobic. You're Islamophobic. Whatever phobic. Now let me tell you this. They tighten. Now do you know what they are doing? I told, where is Troy? Where is Troy? Is he here? Yes, okay. I told him to do a story for the magazine on how they are now promoting pedophilia. People having sex with minors. And they use R. Kelly. Ah, pedophile, what? Pedophile, what? Then he starts getting sympathizers. Now, I actually sent him some opinions I was reading from people saying, pedophilia is a sickness, so you need to treat these people with compassion. Now, the time is going to come when this guy is going to defile your daughter, and there's nothing that's going to, treat him with compassion. Like a pedophile. Okay, now, let me tell you. And they promote it. The next time, they will say, now, if you speak anything against people who have the condition of wanting to have sex with minors, you're also being chucked off Facebook. Now, then you're in the kingdom of the devil 100%. The only way you can take control of those things, which the Lord has told, is just by taking control, number one, of authority, of political, financial, and whatever dominion. That way nobody dictates to you what to do. You understand? Otherwise, if you want to be there quiet, not fighting back, those countries, those people were believed in their own hype of democracy. You believe in your own hype. Then eventually you wake up in the one day and there is no democracy whatsoever. And now this is the death of democracy. The time is coming when the true actually democracy will maybe be in Africa. Because 3 years ago, people in Britain voted to leave the European Union. Have they left? No. They will eventually go back for another referendum and tell them this time vote wisely. Because the guys who control the European Union, servants of the devil, they made sure, because at that time, after Trump, every country was going nationalist. Italians were also saying, we also want to leave the European Union. Greece, we also want to leave. Eastern Europe, Poland, Romania, what? So now the European Union was under threat. And even people were asking me, you said the Antichrist is coming through the European Union. How come now it seems to be disintegrating? Man, the guys rose up. They are using Britain as an example. Now, by the time they have swung Britain like this, left like, completely, they will say, anybody else wants to leave? They say, no, we want to stay. Now, there will not be any other country saying they want to leave because they have made an example of Britain. But you see the guys, there's some guy called what? Jean-Claude Juncker, he walks like this. Man, very, very, very bad. You look at the guy and you see, okay. But now they have messed up Britain. They will take them back to another referendum. Because they have one issue. Ireland. The Irish profit more from the European Union than they profit from Britain. The way the European Union works is, if goods come into any country, they are spread across without any extra, duties and so on, and taxes. So, once they enter, the excise duty is once entering any European country within that zone. Then afterwards, you can distribute them. So if you take your goods to UK, you can sell them to Germany and everywhere without paying extra taxes going to Germany. Now, Ireland benefits more from the European Union. Yet, Irish actually British, more or less. Only it's a different republic. So now the European Union got Britain on Ireland and said, you need visas to travel to Ireland and what? They cut you off people who are like you. You understand? So that's how they've got Britain on their knees. And they are deliberately doing it. Now, you know what's going to happen? June 30th, there's an election of the European Union Parliament. If Britain has not left by then they have to organize to also take part in those elections. Now you're back. Basically, you're back. But there's a referendum. So what happens? A prime minister goes, then a new one comes and says, let's have a new referendum. But this time, vote wisely. So, it's like the way we used to be in secondary school. In secondary school, they would say, you can vote for whichever head prefect you want, but they choose for you two. So you can say, vote one of those. So, because they realized that guys would become head prefects. Stubborn guys, because stubborn guys are popular. So a fake guy comes and what, and campaigns, and guys vote for him. And then so they would Say, if you want to be a prefect, they first take your application to the staff room. Then they give you a very tight choice. Then they leave you democracy. Within those two guys, vote one of those two. Now, is that real democracy? It is not. That's what they are doing now. Now they will tell them, okay, another referendum. But you have to choose between staying in the European Union and staying in the European Union. And because everybody is so tired of the whole thing, aren't you tired of it? Anybody who has been watching the news, Brexit, everybody will say, okay, let's just stay. And that's the end of democracy. Now, by the way, don't play with those guys. That's why we have to take charge of our nations. Praise the Lord. By that, there is no other way. If you leave it in the hands of wicked people as it is now, they will come squeezing slowly. The next thing, you have no opinion outside of this. It's like putting you in the, what to say, you're free to move within there. You're free to move, but you're not free. So that's what is happening across the Western world. And why is that? Because the Antichrist is tightening the screws to make sure that at some stage, everybody is thinking alike. That is group mind. Group mind. Think the same. So that at that time, now you see, so say, they start saying, this is good for a vaccination, it's good for a vaccination, it's good for a vaccination, it's good for you. Go and vaccinate. Then it emerges so many children are being vaccinated and getting, what's that? Autism. Who are normal children? You're a medical person. Isn't it true? Yes. And children are getting autism. And then people say, there are so many people. They give you a vaccine against polio, you get autism. You've never seen anybody with polio. But you're seeing so many people with autism who got it when they're trying to avoid polio, which they have not seen. So people said, now, do you know what they did? If you don't take your child for vaccination, you face jail. So if you take them for vaccination, I'm not saying you shouldn't vaccinate. Neither am I saying you should. That's your choice. But my point is, you should take them for vaccination or face jail. So you go praying two things. You go praying that yours is the one who does not get autism. Like wickedness of the highest order. And now this is the system of the world being put in place, which is why we have to stand up and resist. You understand? Now resistance is not idle. We are not resisting because we are whatever. Everyone wants peace. But there is no time for peace right now. This is time for resistance. Otherwise we are, this, like, you get caught in a net. And by the time you start trying to, now you go to Europe and try to change those countries. In countries like Germany, they voted outright people. Those nationalists, people who say, no, why should we be governing the whole European Union? Let's care about Germany, you know? The same mindset of Trump. America first, make America great again, and what? Now, in America, because they have not yet been tightened so much, you can still have those opinions. Only not so much on social media, because they are closing down social media accounts for that reason. But at least you can stand up and say them. In Europe, you stand up and give those views in countries like Germany, the Netherlands, Australia, and whatever. Stand up and give those opinions and see. The opinions which us here are just, you even say anything against abortion. And I'm talking about late-term abortion. Abortion of children who are born. It's not abortion, it's infanticide. It's murder, it's plain murder. Like we're in New York, now even after the child has been born, they say they wrap him in clothes, and then they ask the mother, do you want to keep the child? If not, they throw the child in the dustbin and he dies. And they are calling it later. Like the devil, man. Like wickedness of the highest order. Now, the only way we are going to see the nations here be run with the semblance of the fear of God and what is right and wrong is when we are the ones in charge. Amen? Any other way, you are joking. People are being taken abroad for seminars. What? Come back, pass bills. You don't know the bills which are passing in parliament right now. Pass bills. Then a leader comes and takes place. A leader comes, who, let's say, not like these people who are. You see what is happening in the music world, or rather, where one musician wants to be mayor, another one wants to be president, another wants to be what? Man, if that Uganda world were to materialize, it cannot, you know, but if it were to happen, I don't know where I would shift. Man, like that is giving the reins to the devil. Come and do what? Come and have your way. Like complete reins to the devil, where every demonic clown think they are going to rule. You understand? Like then you become like the kingdoms of Tyre and Babylon in the Bible, which the Bible calls the devil the king of Babylon in Isaiah 14. And in Ezekiel 28, it calls him the king of Tyre. And he's talking about the devil himself, which means the devil had the complete control over those kingdoms. And the people who are governing it, we are governing it at the will of the devil. Now, if you don't query Anako right now, it comes to that. Your children, now let me tell you, there are things passing here now what, where children, 8-year-olds, will be taught about over 8 genders. You see, now we have to go back. They have to undo everything God did. You see, he says he made them both male and female. So they have to change that. So they say trans what, trans this, in those, whatever, whatever. Then there are those who, they call it like, you have the liberty to change genders depending on your mood. So in the morning you're a woman, at night you're a man. That's also another gender. Huh? Then, okay man, okay, stupidity. Yeah? Like when people get rid of God, like they descend into a level of stupidity which is unfathomable. Unfathomable. You cannot have, there is no good without God. There is none. The minute people get rid of the sense that one day we are going to stand on a judgment seat, regardless of who it is, even you, even me, what keeps me in place is I know one day I'm going to stand before the Lord to give account. Once that, they take that away. You go and tell a student, there are no exams, all of you are going to pass. You see how many are going to attend class. Everybody needs an exam to keep them in what? In check, in order, in discipline. Now, get the fear of God out of a society. And you see how do you kill a child who is like abortion? A child who is already born and is crying. Do you want to have the child? No. Like, okay, what kind? Now, here is the thing. There are so many Christian organizations which are there saying, if you don't want the child, give it to us. Because if you don't want to look after the child for whatever reason, no problem. Hand the child over to us, we'll raise the child. No. They refuse. They say it's the mother's right to kill him. So the mother said, no, that okay, let them look after the child. No, I don't want. Throw that in the dustbin. And that's it. Like, man, this world. Eh? Like, you know the things which the Bible says when the transgressors have come to their fullness. Eh? In Daniel 8:23, I think. Eh? That this is the time they are talking about. Because, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when transgressors have reached their fullness, when sin is at its peak, there is nothing you can think of that is wicked, that is not being done and promoted. Nothing. Murder of children, that's even worse than murdering us. Because at least us, we've lived a life. But imagine a child who is not even given time to live. Just now, it's even worse than mass shooting. Somebody coming here and shoot. Because all of you, at least you've lived a life. Now, what is worse than that? So this is the world that we are now. If you are not ready to fight, I don't even know how I ended up here. I was supposed to talk about words and nice and what. Eh? If you're not ready to fight with us, eh? Just support us. Eh? The cause in any way you can. Some of you by sharing things on social media. Some of you by giving of your finances. Some of you by doing what? Because you need it. And thankfully, you have me who doesn't fear to fight. Eh? I'm telling you the truth. Because, man, wickedness in high places. Wickedness. Man. Praise the Lord. But it's not going to happen in Uganda. It is not going to happen in Uganda. And by the way, let me tell you, something powerful will spread from this country across the world. You see, when we're young and born again, when we're just gotten born again, some of you were, I don't know, maybe some not born, maybe others born but still in clubs. Eh? And for us who are preaching, with my friend there, Brutus, eh? What year did you get born again, Brutus? 89, eh? Hey, you were 3 years ahead of me. Me, I was 92. Now, we used to hear preachers saying how God had chosen Uganda
to start a worldwide from this country. You remember that? Yes. But then after some time we said, but where is it? Where is it? Where is it? But you see, God's words are, yeah, the time, God, by the way, God's timing is perfect. Eh? It sets off at a time when the best possible time. Then you realize that now the time is now. Then you realize that you had it, you had it, you had it. Now let me tell you, there has to be time for us to change the world, at least those who are willing, in terms of, first of all, spiritually, the church, the awakening of the church. Because the leader of the worldwide end time move of God is in this country. Okay? Now, we have to affect the nations, first of all, what? Spiritually. Then, financially. Okay? And then, in terms of dominion. That means dominion of the church, where the church is in rulership and not the world. You see, now it has started somewhere in Africa. For instance, like, I was seeing Benin in Nigeria, and is shocked at how much money in people have in church. But in America, people have money, but not in church. In church, people are broke. So they are preaching. You know now 30-minute programs. Eh? And only there is 10 minutes of preaching. The rest of the time, bring money for this, bring money for that, bring money for that. And you see that you can just see it is reducing, like the money is reduced. And you can tell there is a squeeze. But because the church is not on top. Now, they do those things which they were doing on you know those things on TV which they people are calling in and pledging to give money. So now Benin is in Nigeria and he's doing it. How many? Someone? $100,000. Wow. In America, $1,000, they clap for like 5 minutes. Now here, the guy says $100,000. The man says, what? Wow. Then he says, I've never seen anything like this. Then he says, $500,000. 500,000? Yes. We are saying, says, are you sure? Hey, 1 million. Then he even sat down on the ground and said, are you talking about American dollars? That yes, American dollars, 1 million. Now, these are church people. You understand? Eh? That's it. The dominion we are talking about is the dominion of people in church, not of the world. Now, when this, like, in a short way, it turns around and all the money is in church. And you can, there is already evidence of it right now. Eh? Eh. I met somebody who was telling me that, by the way, that church system is falling. I was told some church there, Frozen Chosen, eh? Which is around that place, eh? A former cinema, eh? Banned. Eh? Now you're laughing. Eh? Like, totally in debt. Totally in debt. And the bank was recently almost going to take over the running of the church. Equity Bank. Like indebted. But by the way, let me tell you something about money. Money humbles people. Because I'll tell you this. If I am here and I stop doing the will of God, the first thing that will go is money. Not just for me, even from the ministry. You understand? Eh? So when there is a... What you have to first check yourself. If you sense, the other day I used to have so many millions in my account, now I'm seeming to. You first check yourself and say, is everything okay? Because the minute you get off the will of God, the first thing the devil goes for is money. Man, he loves money. Like, he will not let you prosper unless he has no choice. You're doing the will of God, there is nothing he can do. That's the first thing. Now, it humbles people. People who are rugezi-gezi, eh? You just wait for them on money. I'm telling you, it is swift like that. Swift. Now there are people at Bow, well, ministry is big and what? You look at the amounts of money they have. Or they call it money. So now, that's why you have to be in line. Eh? Otherwise, you're humbled. I'm telling you the truth. You go to this, like, and you see, I said it sometime and people thought that, like, it's as if you think you have. No. The truth is, I know very well. Like in ministry, the minute, what one of the first indicators that you're doing the will of God is when you are facilitated to do it. The minute you don't, the first thing that vanishes is dimes. Instant, like that. So, now, as long as I'm doing the will of God, even if some people, you see, there are some people we started
who think that, you know, we, yeah, you know, like, so you start the ministry and they are there, so they think you're dependent on them. By the way, now those are the people whom I even keep at a distance. Once I say somebody has that mindset, because I get, it's the will of God and He's my supplier, not any human being, none whatsoever. So if you have the privilege of being used by God to give me, that is you to thank God that He gave you the privilege of, I'm telling you the truth, of using you, because I know you'll be blessed because I'm doing the will of God, and I am. And I check myself all the time. All the time. Is it really the will? Like, I check myself all the time. Am I really? Am I, not even, but even, am I moving at His pace? Have I slowed? And you get dreams immediately. The minute you slow, you get dreams. And they are very clear. Like, you see somebody as, you know, then you change. Now, here is the thing. When you see it, don't think it's like it's a final thing. No. Just pray about it. Because there's a time I dreamt when we were walking with prophet and we were jazzing and what. Then suddenly I got a bit distracted. Then he walked. Then I looked, I turned around, looked for him. He was nowhere. And I knew what that was. Eh? So it's just like this. Instantly you're back. You're restored and you're back on. Like, that's what the Bible means. The righteous person falls how many times? And comes back. The minute you realize I'm falling behind, I am moving too fast, you just check yourself and get back in groove. And by the way, let me tell you, when you are seeking the will of God, when you're seeking to do the will of God, even when you make a mistake and you go off, He's like that GPS. Eh? When you make a wrong turning, it realigns you. So let's say you're going to Kamocha, you make a wrong turning, then you end up in Boyogerere. It will just show you from Boyogerere the right way to get to Kamocha. It always keeps on realigning you. That's how the Spirit of God is. When you make a wrong turn, it says, okay. But He changes your alignment and gets you back to where you're supposed to be. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a lovely thing? So now, if you cannot be with us in the flesh, because you're fearing over what they will do, what, and by the way, I honestly totally understand those things. I'll end with this. The other day I was on TV with some journalist, and I told we're talking about, okay, never mind. But I realized that this person knew a lot more than she was saying. And she's, everything is guarded. And I told her in the break, I can see you know a lot more. Why are you? She said, "Wag, I have children." So now I totally understand that, by the way, because I could see, you know, somebody who has a lot of inside information, eh? But everything they are saying, they are touching the surface, then moving, touching the surface. She said, "I have children." I said, "So do I." Praise the Lord. Amen. So, that's enough for today. Where is Jackie? Jackie Uwera. Where she come? Okay, in the name of Jesus, your time of promotion has come. In Jesus' name, in every area of your life,
amen.
In the name of Jesus,
amen.
And I release an increase. That much that affects your family.
Amen.
You have, as if a young sister, brother. Do you have a sister?
No, I don't.
But I'm seeing as if there's a lady. It might be in the extended.
Oh.
Huh?
Yeah.
Marriage. Huh? Is she married?
No, she's not.
And there's nobody who is again.
No.
So now we are releasing that. Eh?
Amen.
Not just for you, but for your family.
Amen.
By your family, I mean extended family.
Yes.
I release that thing that has blocked you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I command it to depart from you.
Thank you, Jesus.
I clothe you in a new garment.
Amen.
A new garment.
Amen.
Of honor.
Amen.
Of extreme honor.
Amen.
Right now. And it affects everything.
Amen.
Even in your workplace.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Are you in Kampala? I see as if they shifted you.
Entebbe.
They shifted you to Entebbe?
Yes.
When did they shift you? 17. Did you like it? Did you want it?
I didn't want it.
You want to come back to Kampala?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, you return in a promotion.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And you're heading something as if some special account. What do you do?
Right.
Yes. Now, what do relationship managers do? You deal with people's accounts. Eh? Now, what I'm seeing is like it's like a big company, eh?
Okay.
Which you're like managing, eh?
Okay.
Their accounts. Eh?
Okay.
And it's bigger than what you're doing. Eh?
Amen.
It's similar, but bigger. Eh?
Okay.
Similar, but bigger in the name of Jesus. Rika Brazintoro by media. And there are so many questions and so many things inside you about there's no change in this, there's no change in that, there's no change in this. True?
Yeah, that's what
I mean. In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And even something in your womb. Do you know anything about? Okay. In Jesus' name, Father,
Amen.
I thank you.
Yes, Lord.
Because Jackie is put in a place of dignity,
Amen.
And honor,
Amen.
And you're lifted up,
yes.
In the name of Jesus,
Amen.
And all those things that you said did not work out, we are not working out. Today I release to you a
Amen.
Word in season,
Amen.
That turns it all around,
Amen.
In the name of Jesus,
Amen.
And then now even when they are promoting you,
yes.
Then it will seem like there's another job coming up,
glory to God.
And in a different whatever,
Amen.
And now that is like, this is what I am saying, it will be your choice whether you want to move or stay.
Eh?
Because right now you can't make that choice because you're a bit disgruntled. But that time, you'll be in a better place. In the name of Jesus, and now all your family, in Jesus' name, are freed, are released. There's a time I had a dream about you, and I prayed for you. And now I feel that the thing for which I prayed, which I'm not going to speak now,
okay.
The time is now. Eh?
Amen.
Actually, I even fasted one day for you. Eh?
Amen.
Because the dream was very, very vivid. Like I saw, it was those vivid dreams. Eh? And so in the name of Jesus,
Amen.
I thank you. Because now you're released.
Amen.
Nothing shall hold you back.
Amen.
From every area of endeavor,
Amen.
Of which you please,
Amen.
In the name of Jesus,
Amen.
In the name of Jesus,
yes.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus, for we are doing wonderful things, and this is the time for our dominion. Now, in Jesus' name, I bless your name, Father, because each and every person here is touched and moved to stir himself up, stir herself up, and stir the people around them up to stand up and do the will of God. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you because you touch us. You touch us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
We will go for you.
That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780-292-555 or +256 755-292-555. The Watchman, the King is coming.